Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Why, hello, and welcome back to the worst year ever.
Goodbye.
My name's...
Wait, shit.
Like things a little different.
Which is the one that it tells you that's the greeting?
This is the one that's the greeting.
Is that the, but it, which is the word? How do you greet people?
Welcome.
Hello. Ah.
Welcome.
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 This is Worst Year Ever podcast.
Welcome.
Robert. Katie. Cody.
Right. That's it. Those are our names.
All right, I've done my work for today. I'm
guys,
out.
Today, we are very excited to be joined by Richie Sergenko from the People's City Council. You guys might be familiar with the People's City Council here in Los Angeles. They've been making a lot of waves on the internet, fighting Eric Garcetti, fighting the police, the LAPD, working with Black Lives Matter, fundraising, all of it. So we were really excited to sit down and chat about the work that they're doing and the ways that we can support them. Here that is. Today, we are very excited to be joined by Richie Sergenko. I pronounced that right?
You got it.
I pronounced that right. From the People's City Council. Hi, Richie. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. I'm really tired, but I'm doing well. How are you?
Pretty okay. I was just chatting yesterday with somebody about how I'm doing okay is the new pretty good. It's like...
Yeah.
I honestly, like, my immediate needs are taken care of for the for today, and that's a positive. But we are really grateful that you are taking the time to speak with us today, because a lot's happening. And I, from what I understand, the LA City Council will be voting on their budget this week, today, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. different portions of the budget. I mean, they didn't vote on the budget by June 1st. And, you know, I'm not as legislatively savvy as some of, you know, our coalition members, but I can only speak to what I know. But if they didn't vote by June 1st, the budget was set to go in effect on July 1st, regardless if there was a vote held on it or not. But, you know, they're voting, you know, they... Yesterday in the Budget Finance Committee, they voted to send a motion, the Wesson Harris-Dawson motion for getting rid of the calls for LAPD on nonviolent, non-criminal calls, have them go, have that go to professionals and not police officers. That motion was sent from committee to City Council today. You know, which they're gonna, I'm pretty sure they're either voting right now or they voted to pass. But I think it did pass earlier, but
that's exciting.
It's not, yeah, it's exciting, but it's a small bit. It's a,
yeah,
it's a good first step.
Yeah.
No, for sure. It is exciting. I don't want to like completely downplay it, but, you know,
well, it's important to be honest. It's important to be like, yes, there are some minor gains that have been made also with the, you know, Eric Garcetti talking about the, you know, $150 million from the police budget to be diverted into programs for, you know, community programs. Great. It's a sliver. It's a sliver, a chip of the off the iceberg. But
yeah.
I want to back up and start by talking about the People's City Council, how you got started. From what I understand, you guys formed as a response to the COVID crisis to fight for no rent, no evictions, no vacancies. And the work you guys have been doing in a very short amount of time is pretty incredible. So can you walk us through the beginnings of this coalition
yeah.
and some of the stuff that you guys have been doing?
We say, you know, that we are, an organizing project. You know, we're not a coalition, we're an organizing project. We're assembled by organizers that belong to different groups like Sunrise Movement, LA Tenants Union, K-Town for All, Ground Game. No Olympics. So all amazing, you know, LA grassroots orgs that have been here for a long time. And, you know, a bunch of us just came together. Nicole, who started the first car protest at Mayor Garcetti's house.
Yeah.
In March. So, and like March 28th was like the first car protest at Garcetti's I attended. And then, you know, they had another one and I showed up, and then it's so funny. What has happened in LA over the past few months, with the use of social media, mm-hmm. in a wide range of how we are all impacting our communities. Like, we came together, People City Council came together through Twitter. Just like, hey, like, yeah. I saw that you were there, or hey, I saw that you are you're organizing this, like, what's going on? And then a bunch of us just got connected, and a bunch of us got connected by calling in the city council meetings and say, like, hey, like, these are our points, like, let's hit these points and like let them know. And People City Council is, you know, I before we started recording, I mentioned is like a fun group. We do fun and cool stuff. Pretty much every single member of People City Council likes to talk shit to elected officials and will confront them directly on it. And, you know, that is a main pillar of our success.
Talking shit to politicians?
That is...
Hey, us too.
Personally,
I mean, yeah. Being willing to, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the essence of democracy, or yes. It ought to be.
I mean, I actually completely agree.
Yeah, maybe throwing milkshakes at him occasionally, but, you know, that's a personal
thing. I don't think I would personally, but I don't judge if anyone wants to do that.
Yeah, part of democracy is having the freedom to throw whatever beverage you want at your elected
leaders. I would probably drink half of the milkshake and then throw the part that's a little too melted.
See, this is democracy right here. Mm-hmm. This is what democracy looks like.
Anyway, Richie.
Yeah, so we came together, and, you know, one of my main pillars of my organizing is actually directly confronting politicians and elected officials. I've done it at like a national scale. And when this started, I was just laughing how inept these local elected officials are with their social medias. And yes. So we all of this discussion will tie into how we use social media and how it's been so powerful for us. But yeah, so People City Council started in like early April, and we started doing car protests at Garcetti's house, but also to not even Mike Fear, the city attorney. We went to some David Michelson, who works in the city attorney's office, who wrote a bullshit brief that wasn't based on legal precedent. We went to his house and called him out. We went to a bunch of other council members' houses. We've leaked their addresses on Twitter, put their home phone numbers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Farrell's partner called Jacob, an organizer with People City Council. His partner called Jacob's dad after we protested in front of his house. And so, you know, we had an obligation to leak Mitch's partner's number on Twitter as well. And so mm-hmm. that's a main tenet. But we also have organized really awesome actions. Our May Day action at Eric Garcetti's. We had like hundreds of cars like do a car protest, like honking in front of Garcetti's. And then we had, you know, 30, 50 people on foot, you know, with their megaphones making noise and just disrupted the entire neighborhood. And as Robert was saying, you know, this all of what I'm saying is a basic tenet of democracy. Mm-hmm. Dissenting and holding politicians accountable. I mean, we've gone so far away from that at so many different levels, but that is truly like the essence of democracy.
Some of the best things that have happened during this whole uprising has been the cases where you've had in like Minneapolis and Portland, and I think a couple of other cities, like the mayors of cities just have to stand in the middle of a crowd of their citizens and get mm-hmm. shouted
Eric
at.
Eric Garcetti would never.
No,
he didn't.
Oh, no. But that would be awesome.
Famously absent from his home when everybody showed up to protest there. I'm not sure if on the car protest that you're mentioning, but certainly during the George Floyd protests, he was not there.
Who knows if he really lives in the Getty.
Yeah.
But
hard to say.
But we had, and then, you know, to go back to the history of PCC, we actually, PCC is People City Council, we held a die-in in front of Garcetti's house, like where the tree line is. And we had, you know, probably like 30 people lay there for like, I think it was like 833 seconds or so for the amount of unhoused people that die in LA every year at a, and so, and then the next day they put up a barricade in the spot that we did the die-in at. And to tie Twitter back into it, we trolled them so hard. Like initially when they were asked about it, they gave no comment. And they were trolled so hard on Twitter that they had eventually had to give a comment and say that it was to protect the plants. But that's like a mossy green area that like there's no plants there. So yeah, these elected officials in LA are so shitty and they've never been held to account. And it's pretty awful.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with that. I mean, we're sitting here in a situation today and the day that we're recording this, LA is seeing, I believe, our worst number of cases ever. We are in a situation, a very alarming
situation.
I don't mean to laugh.
I mean, we process this pain
however we can. Yes, laugh.
I mean, isn't LA County like what some like upsettingly high percentage of the globe?
Yes, but we're currently looking at a statistics of one in every.
Right?
One in every 140 people infected.
And testing is harder to get.
You can't get a testing appointment.
Drive-through facilities are like non-existent anymore. And it takes many days to get an appointment and many days to find out your results.
Look,
it seems really, really, really safe in my opinion. Just so
you got to get those fucking bars back open. And there's no other way to get the bars back open but to just have everyone in Southern California get sick. And then we can open the bars again.
Then we party.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
For the survivors.
Oh, we've got unemployment benefits are set to expire at the end of July.
Hell yeah, they are.
Congress gets to work now, but Mitch McConnell.
They're not going to do shit.
I mean, this is so bad for my mental health to go through the list of this shit.
All right, we don't have to do that.
No,
but
please,
this is
please
why
I'm just laughing.
August is like people thought fucking May, end of May and early June were like an uprising. August is going to be the motherfucker of the year.
You gave me chills, Rob. Like,
I guess
chills saying that.
Yeah, August is going to be when everything, like things come to a fucking boil in a way that. Yeah,
and
it's going to be cool and good.
I think, even this weekend,
seeing people so angry that the beaches are closed for 4th of July, it's like, are you feeling patriotic right now? Because
I don't care about those people boiling. but I do set that. I say this to say,
fucking awesome.
Even though I think in the last month or so, we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter in a moment. You know, we've been focused on these other movements and other things that are happening. And I think a lot of people in LA, at least a month and a half ago, we're starting to feel like, okay, we've done a good job. But then we rushed to reopen and here we are. But I say this to bring it back to the work that you guys are doing. And again, focusing on the no rent, no evictions, no vacancies, because we are going to be seeing that hit in August unless drastic things happen.
Yeah. Don't worry, they won't be.
And they won't be. They won't. So I would love to hear some about what you guys are working on specifically with that, then get into some of the Black Lives Matter stuff as well.
These local elected officials have passed the buck to the federal government.
Yeah.
And that's local and statewide. Like Newsom has done it too. Or like Newsom, they have handled, you know, every single elected official in California, or excuse me, from the governor's office and then in Los Angeles has failed everyone that fucking lives in the city.
And I'll just say, I mean, I agree. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
It blows my mind how much good press they got, especially at the beginning of people saying, look at how
they're
good they're doing.
White guys.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
It.
The Cuomo, that's the Cuomo sexual stuff, right? It's the, it's the being able to give the air of an ounce of competence, which we're not used to these days.
And also LAPD doesn't wear masks either, so.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Of course not.
No, the only time the police have been wearing masks at the protests I've seen is when they've been tear gassing us.
Yeah.
So I guess the more tear gas they use, the safer we all are from coronavirus. That's the lesson.
Yeah, it sends you home. It's forcing you to quarantine.
Tear gas your way to flattening the curve.
Exactly. Yeah, fuck up your lungs a little bit beforehand.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
I got arrested on May 30th. I don't know if you have seen the video, but I was directly targeted by LAPD, and I was the first arrest that they made on 3rd and Fairfax. And
really?
I got tackled by two LAPD officers. I got dragged by them on the ground, and then I think I got punched or hit with a stick. And then, you know, they started hitting my buddy that tried to grab me.
I'm so sorry that you experienced that.
Oh no, thank you. I appreciate that. And it's like, the LA Times has fucking used that picture twice already without mentioning my name under the headline.
Of course.
It's a true.
Well, were you wearing that fuck Garcetti shirt you got on right now?
No, I wish. It's a triggering picture, and they don't fucking accredit. They don't credit me at all. And also, LA Times has used also two other pictures of me getting arrested, and somehow they're using me as the face of police brutality against Black and Brown people. And that's not why that's not why I'm out in the streets. I'm out in the streets because I stand in solidarity with Black, Brown, and Indigenous people who have been harassed for centuries by police departments. And LA Times, corporate media, is fucking failing. People that live in Los Angeles. Anyways, yeah. I wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, it's a pretty good transition, because People City Council, even outside of the original stuff, the set that we've already discussed, at least according to your website and what I've seen online, is about creating a Los Angeles that is racially, economically, environmentally just. And I really liked how on the website your message includes evolving to meet the needs of our comrades. And as you are talking about, I mean, you guys have done that by joining forces with the Black Lives Matter movement, which is obviously incredibly important, because we can't talk about creating a just Los Angeles or about the economic effects of COVID without talking about racial justice, because they are inextricably linked.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear some of the stuff that you're doing in conjunction with Black Lives Matter, and get into the People's Budget and the Freedom Fund and all of that.
Yeah, for sure. So it was funny how we got connected with BLM and I just wanted to, you know, Black Lives Matter LA has been like putting in so much work in Los mm-hmm. Angeles for like 7-10 years.
Yes.
However long. But you know, I think they're, you know, BLM is like the gold standard of organizers in Los Angeles. And, you know, I think all of us look up to them a lot.
Yeah.
And it's been like, you know, and then they saw us, you know, obviously, you know, trying to live up to that hype and living up to just the standard that they set as far as direct actions go as well. So speaking for about People City Council, you know, BLM saw what we had done at the mayor's house and said, like, invite us next time.
Yeah.
And that's how we got connected. And then, you know, a few weeks later, the budget was brought up. But the People's Budget Coalition is made up of an amazing set of groups. Like, it's led by Black Lives Matter LA and Dr. Melina Abdullah and Baba Akili, but you know, K-Town for All and mm-hmm. Students Deserve and Ground Game, LA Can, Street Watch. Like, this coalition is made up of a bunch of amazing organizations in Los Angeles, and a multiracial, multi-generational group of organizers that have come together to take on the city about the budget. And we've made like significant improvements. It's important to acknowledge the groundwork that BLM has laid for this battle and this fight for years and years of taking on elected officials in Los Angeles. George Floyd's death sparked something around this country, right? And we just so happened, and BLM just so happened to have the infrastructure for years. And then also the People's Budget battle had been going on for like 3 weeks before George Floyd's mm-hmm. death. And so then everyone was like, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't give $3.15 billion to LAPD, 54% of the unrestricted general funds to LAPD. that does not make sense. And so, yeah, that's how we came together, be it with BLM and working on the people's budget. And that's, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about the people's budget?
For sure. So, like before like a week before George Floyd's death, we put out a survey, and the survey, I don't know if any of you took it. It's like incredibly well done. Mm-hmm. David Turner, who's getting his PhD in NorCal right now, set up a really dope survey, and, you know, could pinpoint which district you lived in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just one that cost a lot of money for people to do, right? But we fortunately had the resources to get the survey out. And before George Floyd's death, I think we had like 2,000 people fill out the survey, and the results came back and showed that people wanted to give like 5.6% of the budget to law enforcement. And then after George Floyd's death, and right before BLM gave the presentation in front of city council, the results were that the people only wanted to spend 1% of the budget on law enforcement, like 1.6 again.
Public opinion moves fast these days.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah, black and brown people have been oppressed and brutalized by police for a long time. And a lot of people are now waking up to it.
Yep.
And that's why people are like, okay, this shit really needs to change.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so the people's budget is, you know, about reimagining public safety. And like one thing to think about is people that live in Beverly Hills, Pacific Palisades, Brentwood, how many police do they see roaming around their neighborhood? And I bet it's not many. And I bet they still feel safe there. Mm-hmm. And the reality of the situation is that, and I've heard it for so long, that black and brown indigenous folks, when they have police in their community, they don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And so like, why do we, like, it's just ridiculous that it's been ignored for so long. But, you know, if a group of people are saying that the police in our communities don't make us feel safe, and we know from elsewhere that just not having the police around, things are still, you know, kept safe, right? So it's just the realization that cops in America do not protect and serve. They do not serve the needs of the people. They are here to brutalize and terrorize communities, and specifically communities of color. People don't want that anymore.
Yeah, that makes me think about the conversation of gentrification, of white people moving into black and brown communities, changing the demographics, bringing police in because they don't feel safe for X, Y, or Z,
right,
and targeting the people that have lived there for a long time. And we see that happening in Los Angeles, all over the country, but especially.
Yeah. Don't call the cops on black people. That's like a good general rule of thumb.
I also love all the things that people share about, for their neighborhoods. I'm in my neighborhood. I'm in Mount Washington, actually, and Glassell Park. And people have started putting up, you know, list of places that you can call other than 911 for different types of situations. Obviously, there's a bit of a judgment call on some things, you know, like thinking about which is the right resource to reach out to. But, you know, until we get to a place where we do have an emergency line that connects you to the proper department, you know, the proper people equipped to handle a certain situation, we have to take that action into our own hands.
Yeah, for sure. Like, violent people with guns shouldn't be showing up to situations where people are, you know, may need some mental health support.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And also, violent people with guns showing up anywhere doesn't make anyone safe. The cops are trained in a certain way to escalate and be aggressive. And so it's like impossible for them to act with, proper social decorum when they're trained in a certain way and they're armed and they show up on a call.
Yeah. As we mentioned up top, I am blown away by how quickly all of this came together, and I'm grateful for the work you guys have been doing. And we have seen some beginnings of changes happening. The shaving off the top of the police budget, sure. The fact that they are attempting to replace LAPD with community-based unarmed emergency responders, that's great. That's some significant steps.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what is happening this week and what your next steps are, some of the plans that you guys have in place and what you want to be focusing on?
Yeah, for sure. So, tomorrow, every Wednesday, is the Jackie Lacey Must Go protest downtown, led by Black Lives Matter LA. But July 1st marks the budget passing. And so we're ready. Like, a lot of people are upset. And it was mentioned before that, you know, August is going to bring a tidal wave of pissed off people. But July is going to as well. And I just think it's laughable that these elected officials think that they're going to live in peace while they go on recess, while people are waiting for shit to change in the city. And so it's fine that they want to go on recess like that. You know, I mean, it's really not fine. But
I was going to say, is it right now? Is it fine? We are in an unprecedented crisis on many fronts that's happening right now. There are so many fires that need to be put out, and we have a dearth of leadership. But anyway,
yeah,
sure, it's
yeah,
fine.
No, I was saying it's fine because now it gives us an opportunity, instead of yelling at them on city council meetings, it gives us an opportunity to show up in front of their homes call their home numbers and call their partner numbers and not let them live in 1 second of peace. And we are so well organized right now that I can assure all the city council members that they will not have a second of peace. And if they, because like MLK said, like a budget is, a sign of your morality, is a document of morality and, or your values. I forget what the exact quote was.
Sure.
But they're going to let this budget go through in July. And, that in itself, perpetuates violence. Right? Like, giving LAPD that much money actually is violent to people. It hurts people, it kills people, it gets people unnecessarily thrown in jail. And so that is their action, right? Like, that they are intentionally allowing this to happen. They are intentionally giving LAPD that much money. And so I said it's fine because they are going to see exactly like what we have. 24,000 people in Los Angeles fill out a survey, right? We have all those email addresses, right? We have so many eyes on us right now that they are not going to be prepared for the wave of people that are going to show up at their front steps.
Yeah.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Talk about the Freedom Fund. I mean, I know you guys have raised a lot of money, so I'd love to hear about that and also Freedom Fund, all of it.
Yeah, we raised $2.5 million. We just shut the fund down and started a general fund. The Freedom, so just to give some background, some context, we've had a GoFundMe going for a long time, since we started. Because
it feels like years, but yeah.
Yeah, right. It does feel like years. It's only been months, but We started the what is now known as the Freedom Fund as a fund for people to donate to because people were getting citations at the car protests for honking. They were getting citations for amplified noise. Yeah.
So. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's such bullshit. So
what a great use of tax dollars and time and Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so we used the fund to fundraise for people that were getting these citations. And then we also used it to raise money for a mariachi band, which we hired on the May Day protest to have in front of Garcetti's house. And so we've had this fund for, a little bit of time, and we've raised money for like local things. And then, as people were getting arrested and as people were getting injured and as, we were about to start, preparing ourselves to get out in the streets, like knowing that we would need supplies and we would need a certain amount of things to keep, you know, this pressure and this movement and this energy up. You know, we figured that we needed to have a because there was no fund like in LA for like protesters. So we were like, okay, like we have this fundraiser that's already live and active. And so, you know, if people want to donate for supplies or for legal support, which I'll talk about in a second, and anything in regard to the direct actions in Los Angeles. We wanted to just offer our fund as like a spot for where people can donate money because we already had it up and running. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're at least somewhat of a reliable source, right?
Yeah.
And so we're like, hey, you know, because who knows what GoFundMe's can be created like during a time. So we just put it out there and, you know, it kind of, we barely even publicized it, but it got picked up. Like we barely publicized it because like People City Council does not have like any infrastructure itself, right? We aren't like, an organization. We're not like a group. So we weren't fundraising for anything that like we could do for like us structurally. We were fundraising to like help with bail or help mm-hmm. with like medical bills or help with like supplies for protesters. So we kept raising a lot of money and there was no need to promote it because we are trying to figure out, you know, how to dole out $2.5 million. But so far we've approved like $1.25 million.
Wow.
And I think 300,000 of it is going to the National Lawyers Guild. National Lawyers Guild also took on a class action suit on behalf of Black Lives Matter LA for the brutality and mistreatment of protesters that happened over the first few weeks or the end of May and first few weeks of June. So there's a class action being brought by BLM and NLG against LAPD. And the best part about it is that we raised so much money that we're now giving $300,000 to the National Lawyers Guild and $300,000 to Black Lives Matter LA to use however they want. But NLG is now fighting the class action suit against LAPD. And wow. So these assholes have really created a vicious, these assholes at LAPD have created a vicious cycle for themselves where we're just pounding them at on all fronts. And they have just created this kind of violence and trauma for people in Los Angeles for a long time, and it's time to get rid of them. And so that's the basis of the Freedom Fund, that people are just really upset about what's going on in LA. We've donated to other groups like Kerasen, who does like immigration legal services. We've donated to a mental health professional group that offers mental health support to activists. We've donated to a group called LA Can, which, you know, does a lot of work with unhoused folks in LA. So we have Ground Game as well. They run a mutual aid setup mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. So we're just trying to get, you know, this money in the hands of people in Los Angeles that are on the ground doing mm-hmm. the work and figuring out how we can best support them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know I can't think of a specific organization off the top of my head, but I know that's been unexpected for some outcome from the past month is that a lot of organizations ended up raising far more money than they know what to do with.
Yeah,
and then they're faced in a situation where it's like, I've got to use this money.
Yeah.
Otherwise I lied, I guess,
right.
But not really.
The group in Minnesota raised $30 million.
Right.
And honestly, I could not, like, I cannot in good conscience say that we would have any idea of what to do with $30 million.
That's
an obscure amount. And because personally PCC doesn't have that infrastructure, right? We're not we're just a group of activists that come together and do car protests or whatever we do. We weren't taking in $2.5 million to run like our own organization.
Right.
And so that's why we shut down the Freedom Fund and started the General Fund, because if people still want to donate to us, they can, mm-hmm. but the General Fund will be for like People's City Council stuff. Like,
right.
That one of the main things that we've done with the Freedom Fund is that like we're not going to keep this money for ourselves. Like, we didn't raise the money for ourselves. That's not why we put like the fundraiser out there. We did it to support people on the ground in LA. So we're going to make sure that, you know, that's where the money goes.
So how can we help you? How can our listeners support you guys? We talked before we started recording briefly about calls to action. I know City Council's voting now, but there are next steps, I'm sure, and things that you need support-wise. How do we keep the attention on this and on the work that you guys are doing?
For sure. And like the next call to actions can all be found at some point over the next week or so on, you know, either Black Lives Matter LA, you know, they're the leaders of the People's Budget Coalition, but also you can follow us, People City Council, full words, People City Council on Instagram, or PPLS City Council on Twitter. And, you know, we do a pretty good job of releasing like our daily call to actions or our weekly call to actions, and people can just get tapped in like that. And I would say that there's going to be something coming up, and sometimes we can't always disclose what it is until day of or even mm-hmm. when it's happening. But yeah, paying attention to our feeds will give people a lot of insight on what they can do and what they can do to tap in with local politics.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier the Jackie Lacey, the weekly Jackie Lacey protest. If you are a listener in LA, that's definitely one to check out, because Jackie Lacey's got to go.
Yeah, Jackie Lacey must go. That's for the past, so 1 week we had Black Lives Matter had like 10,000 people out there. But the past few weeks we've had like 2,000 or so. So it's still pretty good.
That's
numbers.
That's impressive. I was wondering.
Yeah.
How many? I went the first couple weeks, and then haven't been able to lately, but I'm thrilled to hear that there's still huge turnouts.
It's still good turnout. And I think that people, you know, we have so many eyes on us right now and people looking for like the next steps, and people, you know, if we really put out a large call to action and say, you know, if you're really down with this movement, then people will show up on this day or time whenever we need them. And so I think that's what people can expect for what's to come for next steps. You know, Jackie Lacey on Wednesday, but then there will be things for us to do soon.
There's so much power in that. And circling back to how we started this and talking about how you guys have leveraged social media, I mean, it's all that. It's that's how you've done that. That's how we will continue to do this is, yeah, pay attention, follow them, follow their work, and listen to when people say, today's the day, we need you to show up.
Yeah, and people have been doing a pretty good job about it, right? Like, we whenever we put out a call for the digital call to actions and like the social media, you know, we trended number one nationwide with a hashtag on Twitter, like for like hours. People's Budget LA trended across the country. And so we've just been like able to really tap into people, because people are upset, right? Like people, there's like so much bad shit going on at so many levels, but people, you know, you can have a firsthand experience with your local government not acting in the best interests of the people that they represent, right? So like, yeah, Joe Biden or Donald Trump are whatever, like, but there are things that you can do locally with your local mm-hmm. politics to actually effectuate change. And so like Eric Garcetti is just as shitty as Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a fascist and like will lead us into a really crazy state. But Eric Garcetti upholds liberal white supremacy as well. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. Eric Garcetti was going to give $3.15 billion to LAPD. Eric Garcetti hasn't stepped up and filled all of the rooms that were promised under Project Roomkey. they filled up like 20% of the rooms that they were supposed to. So like, I don't see any difference in liberal white supremacy from Eric Garcetti and what like Donald Trump's outright fascism. Like it's negligent.
And at the end of the day, it's upholding the same systems that we are here talking about dismantling.
Exactly.
And he's more attractive on paper and in person, sure. But established that. But it's the same disease. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to continue the fight. And I don't think elected officials in Los Angeles have really dealt with this kind of pressure before. And it's going to be really funny to embarrass them all.
Yeah, definitely not. They don't know what it's like to actually be called on anything or have people engage with politics on the local level.
What I like, I mean, what I like about all of this, I mean, I'm very inspired by the work you're doing, by the work the whole group, everybody's doing. But what you were just talking about is so important. This demystifying of the process and showing people that we have the power to make change. Yeah. We have the power to step up and communicate face to face with masks on, with our local leaders to start making changes here now. It is possible to get everybody's attention. It is possible to create momentum, and we got to maintain it.
Yeah.
And if there's a positive in all of this, I mean, there are positives in all of this, but that's one of them for me. And I want all of us to continue to have that same kind of a mindset throughout our lives when we get through this specific crisis.
Yeah, it's crazy, right, that this all is happening right now. We're in the middle of a global pandemic and a nationwide recession. Millions of people are out of work. They're likely not going to be going back to work anytime soon. People are going to be getting evicted from their homes. The federal government hasn't sent any support. Black and brown people and indigenous folks have been oppressed by racist systems for centuries. And it's all happening right now.
It's all happening.
But I think that, you know, revolution isn't like necessarily what is going to happen. I think that's a very broad term. But what we're seeing now is that things are going to change. But only if we continue, like you said, like only if we continue at it, only if we keep this pressure up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think, you know, you can only push people so far until an uprising begins and like an uprising continues. Like people have to remember like the civil rights era, like Rosa Parks and the signing of the Civil Rights Act by LBJ were so far apart, and it didn't happen overnight. Like these changes didn't happen right away.
Right.
And so it's going to be a long drawn out battle, and if people need to stay in tune, but like BLM leading this movement and the coalition behind them, People City Council included, like we're not going to stop anytime soon. I fucking hate all these elected officials. It's my life's goal to hold them accountable and like bring down the LAPD. They're just all bad people. Like if the general public starts accepting that the police department is not just a few bad apples, they're all shitty people operating in a shitty system, and elected officials uphold that shitty system, once that's normalized, then we're going to win.
I love that. That seems like a pretty good place to end, unless you guys have any more questions.
No.
You want to plug the socials and the websites and all that good stuff?
Yeah, one more time for our listeners.
Yeah, People City Council, full words, People City Council on Instagram. On Twitter, it's PPLS City Council. You can check out our website. We're selling out of shirts right now, so I don't know if we – I mean, we just launched it on over the weekend. And
wow, that's so fast.
Yeah, we've sold out of like hundreds of shirts so far. But I'll plug it. It's just our peoplecitycouncil-la.com, and you can find our shop there. But we'll probably do another round of shirts. Mm-hmm. You can get a Fuck Garcetti shirt. You can get Defund the Police in two logos. You can get a Dodgers defund the police or a Lakers defund the police or a color. My favorite shirt is the colorful I yield my time, fuck you shirt. So
that's so good. That's so good. I want that.
Yeah, you should order it. And also for people that want, like, that are thinking about following us, we do fun shit all the time. We want to, like, that one of the reasons that we've been successful, we can wrap right after this, but one thing that we've been super successful at is, like, engaging people with local politics can be easy if you just present things to them where it just makes sense. Like, the process is meant to be obtuse and, like, keep people away from civic participation. Participation.
Participate. You got it.
Yeah, whatever. And so People's City Council just makes it fun and easy, and we shit on politicians and we troll them on Twitter, LAPPL. The police union has me blocked on Twitter. Steve Soboroff, the
nice
LAPD.
Job.
Yeah. Steve. Oh, this would be good for your to run this part though. Steve McBride, the head of the LAPPL, has shot 6 people. His daughter, Tony McBride, LAPD officer, has shot and killed Daniel Hernandez. Steve Gordon, a director of LAPPL, has shot 2 people on his own. And that is the special interest group that represents LAPD. And so that's who city council members let at their table. Like, violent and dangerous people are giving opinions to our local politics, and that shit needs to stop.
Yeah, that's grotesque. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yep. Jamie McBride is a shitty person, and he was talking shit about Black Lives Matter and saying they're like a hate group. Jamie McBride, wait until we embarrass your whole fucking family.
You heard it here first, guys.
Jamie McBride is a fucking violent, dangerous person, and his daughter's a murderer.
Yeah, that's one of the things the police really hate the most. It's what they've been doing in Columbus, Ohio at protests, is putting up shields with, like, the names of specific officers who are at policing the demonstrations and have also carried out acts of violence.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed, like, I started, when I was at protests, reading out the names of officers before they tear gassed us, and they started covering up their names after that. Like, they don't like that. So as a general rule, if you're really looking to piss off the cops in a productive way rather than just, you know, chanting mean things at them, making it very clear which individuals with names have been doing violence to the community is about the best thing you can do.
It's so important.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know. People don't know. It gets buried.
I'll drop this thread in the chat right here, but if people will follow me at my name on Twitter, you can see this video from the day that I got arrested. I was calling out an officer's name that was intentionally hitting people and pushing people with his stick. And I was saying, Officer Ramirez, stop doing that. Officer Ramirez, you are starting a fight. And because he was doing it to peaceful protesters. And then they just take off. I was live streaming on Instagram when I got tackled by the police. So in my live stream, you can hear me say to my friend, hey, let's get everyone out of here. It's not safe anymore. Let's go. Let's get the fuck out. And I go to my megaphone and I say, all right, let's leave. Let's dip. Let's fucking go. As I'm saying that, I'm tackled by 2 police officers.
Wow.
Why did they target me as I was getting people to leave? It's because they wanted war. They didn't want things to die down. They wanted to bring violence upon people.
Absolutely. Otherwise, why would you stop people from leaving?
Exactly.
Yeah. How else are they going to have a police riot?
Yeah.
Yep. So fuck LAPD and fuck the LAPPL. And Eric Garcetti is a spineless coward. And I hope you can run all of that.
We can run whatever we want.
We can run all of that.
All right. Thank you so much, Richie. We're going to be following all of this closely. And that does it for us today. You can check us out online at Worst Year Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. You can follow us individually, but most importantly, follow People's City Council. Stay engaged.
And you can find explicit calls to violence in our Telegram channel / burn the mayor's house down, where we talk about burning the mayor's house down. Isn't that right? Do we have a Telegram channel?
This is the first I'm hearing about it.
Well, we're terrorists now, so
look out for that. Yeah.
Look out for that.
Us and Antifa. but not the KKK. Is that it? Did we
That's
do it?
It, I think. I think we did it. I think we got it.
I tried. Yes. Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.